Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we consider the Word of God as it is recorded in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. Then he said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day he returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." And the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." So the Lord said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down to eat'? But will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.'" So far, the text. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, dear fellow redeemed. In studying the Word of God that is before us this morning, I was having a hard time finding a common thread or a common link among all the different thoughts that are in these verses. I was trying to figure out, why do we have these particular verses grouped together as they are? In studying it, I certainly was humbled because I could find in there that I have not met what the Lord required of me when it came to my response to sin. Also, I certainly knew that my faith did not measure up to what the Lord was asking of me. And at the same time, I knew that as one of his disciples, I was like that servant who was looking for some kind of commendation for simply doing what he was supposed to do. That perhaps was your thoughts as we went through this word a few minutes ago. Being humbled by our Lord is a good thing. It gives us the opportunity to be realistic about how we're doing, rather than having the normal, inflated view of ourselves that we have. It's also true that when it comes to sin and faith and discipleship and doing our duty before the Lord, that humility is necessary. If we don't have humility as a disciple of Christ, we're going to have a skewed perspective of what the Lord requires of us and how we are accomplishing it. May God's Holy Spirit today then open our hearts to receive His message about humility and discipleship. In the first two verses of our text, we have the word offense used a few times. We have to take just a moment on this because in our normal everyday English, we have a different concept of offense or offend than how it is used in Scripture. Normally, if I would say, "Well, that really offends me," it's just another way of saying, "It bothers me. I'm put off by it." But when you come across this word offense in the Scriptures, it's a very powerful word. It means causing somebody to sin. So to offend someone or to cause offense would be actually leading that person right into sin. I remember in college and seminary, my Greek professor saying repeatedly, this word means a spiritual death trap. That gives us that picture then, the full picture that Jesus is saying, that there will be spiritual death traps out there. It's impossible to be without it. That there won't be those who are tempting and causing others to sin. That's just the way that it is in this sinful world. However, you do not want to be the one that is setting out that offense, setting out that trap and causing others to sin. Jesus says, woe to him through whom they do come, particularly when we would cause the little ones to sin. Children, those that would be simple or new to the faith. If we are going to take these little ones that Jesus speaks of and lead them into spiritual danger, lead them into sin and potentially spiritual death, what a terrible, terrible thing to do to them. We might think ourselves of being innocent of such a charge. Are we the ones who would lay out a spiritual minefield and then say to a child, go walk through there? Or you picture a little child walking through a bunch of brush where there's a bunch of the bear traps that could snap up on them. We would never dare do such a thing. But what are we doing with children if by the things that come through the television set in our living room that we would expose them to, or music that we would allow them to listen to? What example are we giving to the next generation when it comes to our involvement with God's Word? Do they see in us that God's Word is for Sunday only? Do we encourage them to pray when it comes to solving problems? Or do we teach them that's something you have to figure out for yourself? Do we selfishly lead others to sin by a careless walk of faith? Humility leads us to regard the souls of others as precious and to be guarded rigorously rather than exploited to the dangers that exist in this world. Take heed to yourselves, Jesus says. Be careful. And that is also true when it comes to forgiveness. When there is sin that occurs, how are we to react to that? Well, first of all, Jesus says we are to rebuke those who are sinning against us, to warn them about what they're doing. That's not an easy task. It's easier to keep our mouths shut and just ignore the situation, just let it boil inside of us. It's even more difficult when it comes to forgiveness. Jesus says, if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. That's awfully tough. We can tire easily when it comes to forgiveness, particularly if it's a repeat sin. If somebody has been mean to us, if somebody has run us down, if somebody is not acting kindly toward us, we don't like to continue to forgive when we see that repeat time and time again. We'd rather say in pride, I'm not going to forgive that person. I don't want to be taken advantage of time and time again. Here is where humility comes in handy. To look at ourselves in the comparison or in our relationship with our God. More than seven times in a day do we repeat the same sin against him. We all have our own faults, our own shortcomings. And day after day, hour after hour, we are repeat offenders. Always ignoring what we should do and instead pursuing that which we should not. Yet when we come to the Lord in repentance, what does he say to us? He says, I forgive you. The blood that Jesus shed on the cross atoned, paid for all sins, not just one time doing this or one time doing that. It covered all sins for all times. And the Lord then wants us to pass that on, not to be selfish with it and dole out forgiveness to our fellow man little by little, but rather give it out unconditionally and freely as he has done. To be patient. And when a person sins against us and repents of that sin, just to overflow with forgiveness and to say, I forgive you. Even if it feels like you're being a doormat or taken advantage of. Forgiveness is not to be like a rare commodity that we would be afraid of running out of. It is meant to be shared. And it is to overflow out of us as the love of God has poured it into us. When the apostles heard these words of Christ considering sin and forgiveness, they said, increase our faith. That is a very good response and one that we should have as well. Because what Jesus is asking for us to do it, is going to take a lot of faith. It's going to take a great faith to be vigilant and look out for others over and above ourselves. It's going to take tamping down pride and self-righteousness to continue to forgive. We need an increase of faith because it is a weakness of faith that would cause us to fail when we would not be looking towards our God for our answers, but rather towards ourselves. We need to look within and in humility recognize that our faith needs to be increased. Don't look at somebody that you think has a shallower faith or less of a faith than you do, but rather look to some of these heroes of faith in the Bible. Could you be like Abraham, wielding that knife over your son Isaac, ready to kill him? And not only be able to kill your own son because God said so, but to kill the link to your salvation because it was through him that the Savior would come. Yet Abraham was willing to do that because in faith, he believed that God would just simply raise Isaac from the dead and continue on with his promise. Could you have the faith of Noah, who built the ark despite, no doubt, suffering ridicule and making a spectacle of himself among the people because he was constructing this giant boat with no sign of a flood? The list goes on. You can think of Peter, who walked on the water with Jesus. Sometimes we just think of him sinking down when he saw the wind and the waves, but he was the only one out of the 12 that got out of that in that storm and attempted to walk on the water. Would one of us be able to do that? I think I'd have stayed in the boat, just seeing the waves, even if Jesus was standing right there. That's great faith. Great things will be accomplished through faith. Jesus said in verse 6, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Some would say, well, this is just hyperbole. This is exaggeration by Jesus. But I think that this means that my faith is not even that size of a mustard seed. I've never been able to do such a thing as that. We all have room for growth. Now, great things are accomplished through faith, not because of the strenuousness of the belief, because of the we're believing more and more, but because of the object of that faith, the Lord Himself. The Lord doesn't have any limits to His power. He's reliable. There's nothing that he cannot do or that he cannot accomplish. He can be trusted in all areas. So we need to beat down that tendency in us to doubt. In humility, recognize we're not the one who can provide all the answers. It's the Lord who does that. Rely on Him. Don't be satisfied with just having this thin, thread-like connection to Jesus that is your faith, but rather pray for an increase that is this solid chain that's binding you tightly to your Lord and your Savior. Be like the man who said to Jesus, "I believe, help my unbelief." And He will. When you ask for help, when you ask for an increase, He gives it through the gospel in both word and sacrament. Finally, in pride, we would look for a pat on the back from Jesus in doing His work here on this earth. We don't get that attaboy thing very often from our friends or family because of our faith, because of our putting what God would want us to have first by making those priorities. But we shouldn't expect that from anybody. Not from the Lord either. It would be like if you give your child a list of chores and they get it done and they expect some sort of reward just because you've done it. They've done it. Or to be an employee who just does the job and you'd expect to have some sort of raise or bonus for just doing what's expected of you. We had Jesus gave that example of the servant who thought he'd come in from the fields and the master would turn around and cook a meal for him. No, you get my meal first, get all that done, and then you'll have yours. So likewise, Jesus says, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, "We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do." Even if we dedicate our whole lives to God, put Him first in everything, that's simply what is expected of us. It's not above and beyond the call of duty. It is our duty. More to the point, it is a labor of love for the one who not only created us, but redeemed and sanctified us. Humility recognizes that we are unprofitable, unworthy servants, but nonetheless are still saved. That's a tribute to the Lord who has won us, to the undeserved love of God, to His grace. We don't have anything to offer Him. Not even our best work as His disciples. And we think, "I really hit the nail on the head there. Or finally, I was able to help this person out or pray when I was supposed to." That doesn't bring anything to the table. In fact, if our work were to be evaluated, if our work as disciples were to be evaluated by an earthly boss or by a teacher, grade would be F. Or we'd be fired. Because if we sit down for a performance evaluation, as many employees do, we'd have to say, "We are unprofitable servants." Yet God has not fired you as His disciple. He hasn't said, "Get out of my presence." He hasn't said, "Because you've repeated sins, I'm tired of you." He says, "I forgive you. I want you to continue on. I've got more things for you to do. I'm entrusting you with my word. I'm entrusting you with children. I'm entrusting you with blessings because I have things for you to do. I want you to continue working for me." And when you have that accurate picture of your Heavenly Father, the accurate picture of your Savior, who keeps you on, who calls you not only His servant, but His friend, then you sit back in humble reverence and awe for such a God. It makes His love all the more incredible when you factor all those things in. So yes, this section of Scripture is humbling, but take it to heart and see the reality that is before you. Be healed by the knowledge that you are still disciples of Christ, that the Lord has not gotten rid of you. That yes, we serve Him today, but one day we'll be exalted in heaven. by realizing our limitations here in Luke 17 or elsewhere, it will cause us to rely more strongly upon that grace of our great God and Savior. Lord, give us an increase in such a faith. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and mind through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.